And I want to look a little bit at what our liturgy as a whole is trying to tell us today. And there is a theme that runs out through it, I should say. And that is, if we really stop to reflect, to really stop to think about this, the great love God has for all of us. Or as our Lord puts it here, well, it is, okay, it's not here exactly, but, oh, here it is, yes, that his heart was moved for pity for them, the crowd. He was moved for pity for all of us. We stop to think about it. But how often do we really stop to think of that, to reflect on that? How often do we merely look around ourselves and see all the evil that we're surrounded and immersed in? And we ask ourselves, well then, if that's the case, where is he? Where is God? Does he really love us? Does he really care? And the answer is right here. Yes, he does, if we stop and think about it. We already see in the opening prayer, what are we being told here? We are praying that we have that grace to see that how he does love us, that he does care for us, and he's seeking to recreate what was lost. That is what we lost in sin, which is the cause of all that evil. And our own weakness due to that sin. And now that's what our God has to do, is recreate all of that again. And that's what he did, above all, with our redemption, with the suffering and death of our Lord on the cross, and we should be reflecting on that even every day. The greatest sign that of love that God could ever have given us, and there it is, and our Lord told us that, right there, himself giving up his life for us on the cross. So yes, he is showing us that pity, that mercy, that love for us. Now, in the first reading, let's look at that just for a moment. What do we see? Our Lord is bidding us to come to him. And he will take care of us, he is telling us. And he does have pity over us. But we must turn to him. And then we will find our thirst will be satisfied, our hunger will be satisfied. We must turn to him. You see, he's waiting for us to come to him. And just look for a moment at the beginning of this gospel, what does our Lord do? So he's heard the death of his own cousin, son to John the Baptist. What does he do? He goes apart alone, which he actually does frequently throughout the gospel. He withdraws. Why does he withdraw? Why does he go alone in solitude? This time it doesn't say specifically, except that the death of John the Baptist. But in most of the cases, what is it? To go and pray to the Father. Right, that's an example for us. We too must go alone a little bit of time each day, alone in solitude with God. And the saints will tell us, St. Alphonsus in particular, for example, at least 15 minutes every day for the most active. More if we can do that. We religious are bidden to do it at least 1 hour every day. Another way to do it, and it's very much recommended, is an hour before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. But a little bit of time each day, alone with God. That's what our Lord did, went alone with the Father. It didn't last long. The crowds came to him. And so he came out to them. And then that phrase, his heart was moved with pity for them. And it is for all of us too. Then we see in the second reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans, what is going to separate us? Our whole goal in this life, what is our goal? It's to unite ourselves with God, who is love, by the way. So we stop to consider that, God's great love for us already by the fact that he's created us, that we're here. He loves us, and he is seeking to share his love with us. And what can separate us from that love once we have it? St. Paul is pointing out, absolutely nothing. And once we really have that love, we won't want anything to separate us from it. But see, not even the most difficult trials, he's telling us. Nothing can separate us from that love if we really seek it, which is exactly what we are supposed to do. Then nothing will separate us from that love. Not anguish, not tiredness, not nakedness, anything, nothing can separate us from that love. Because, in fact, by the fact that we are still here alive, just by that fact alone, God is loving us still right now. If he ceased for any one moment, we would cease to exist. Can you imagine? Just for one instant, we would seek to exist. Yes, God does love us, and he preserves us here, now. How much do we love him in return? How much do we open ourselves to him so he can fill us with himself, you see? And how much are we willing to say within ourselves? Nothing is going to separate us from that love. Now we come back to the rest of this gospel passage, which is rather familiar to us. As our Lord here works a very great miracle by sharing with this people this small amount of food that he has to work with. He doesn't want to send them away to buy their food. He wants to take care of them himself. And so he has them all seated on the ground, and we're told the numbers, more than 5,000. You can imagine, it was a vast, vast crowd. All right, this is just the men, let alone the women and the children. So it was a vast crowd. And with only five loaves and two fish, that was it. And he fed them all. There's something much more here. And it's in the Gospel of St. John where we see it much more pointedly. But here it's also here. It is also here. Notice how it tells us our Lord did it. He took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and the fish. He's anticipating here one more sign, great sign of his love for us and his pity for us. He's anticipating the Eucharist, the Blessed Sacrament, by which he multiplies himself, as it were, throughout the whole world, so he can feed us with himself, so he can be present with us, really present, mystically, but truly present. It's not a symbol. It doesn't just represent him. That is truly our Lord present in the Blessed Sacrament. And he is with us day and night. How much more can he show us? How much he loves us? How much more can he do? What more can he do to show the very great pity he has for us? You see? He's doing it constantly, continually, day and night, regardless of whether we pay attention to him or not. Regardless of whether we profane him or not, he's there. And how much he is profane. Right? How much? Yet he's there. Let us not do that. Let us come to him, adore him, the King of Kings himself. We can come to him directly. You don't need a third party. We can come to him directly anytime we want to. And adore him, and love him in return, and thank him for the great grace. Great grace says, he is giving to us day and night. You see, he is showing us very much how much he loves us. We must again ask ourselves, how much do we love him in return? And how much are we willing to give ourselves, of ourselves, to show him our love in return? Let us then come to him day, night, at least 1 hour every day, sometime every day, to come alone with him in silence, in solitude, to share with him our love for him, as he is continually sharing his love for us. And we will see, in spite of all the evil, in spite of all that we're surrounded with, just how much already we can share in that love. And just how strong that is. How much it will mean to us. And then we'll be able to say with determination, nothing is going to separate me from that love. Praise be Jesus and Mary.